Well, she's broken, bruised, and bleeding, but she made it to the studio.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
All right, welcome back, guys, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio. You can listen live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom, and I am your host, and I'm here with my, as always, my co-host, ladies and gentlemen, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
The Dish.
First of all, fuck her. Totally missed it.
So before we get started, I just want to remind everyone that on today's show, we're going to be welcoming an avid advocate of marriage equality, currently working very hard for marriage equality in Australia, for that to become the land or
law. The law. Land.
There it is.
I'll the get land. Down under.
This is my fault. I gave Tommy two margaritas at lunch.
Exactly. Mr. Christopher, or Chris Entwistle, will join us on the second half of the show. So we're super excited to have him because we've been discussing the issues that have been going on in Australia for quite some time now on the show. And so it's very, very awesome to get a really good perspective of what it's like in Australia from someone who's actually living there.
Yeah.
So we're super excited. So we have a great show for you. We've got a lot of stuff to cover, so we're going to move right into it. Christopher, we're going to do our cocktail for today.
Yes. Today's cocktail is water. Lots and lots of water for me. Today's cocktail is the kangaroo, and I will let Tom tag in.
All right. So I was looking for you know, Australian cocktails, and so I typed in, you know, Aussie cocktails, and up comes the kangaroo, and I pull it up, and I'm like, all right, well, this is pretty much a vodka martini.
It is.
Yeah.
It's pretty much what it is. But what ended up happening was, in this article, it started highlighting on how vodka was fairly new to the U.S. I think it was introduced somewhere around the 50s into the United States.
Bathtub gin.
Hello. So a lot of the cocktails were always done with gin, a lot of the spirits. And so when vodka was introduced, bartenders didn't know what to do with this spirit. They were like, okay, well, what do we do with it? So they started literally taking versions of gin cocktails and making them with vodka instead. So initially, they started calling this the kangaroo. And so it stuck for a little bit, but then as time went on, you know, people started doing different variations. The name sort of kind of dropped off, and they started, like, you know, experimenting with different recipes. They removed the vermouth. They started adding, like, the peel of a lime. Or lemon, excuse me. And so I said, you know what? This is an interesting thing to cover on the show. I thought it would be a nice cocktail to have. We love vodka.
Now, why was it called the kangaroo? Like, why did they decide? Is there a reason why they decided to call
it? They didn't explain in the story as to why they called it the kangaroo. But, you know, as with anything that
vodka makes you bounce,
I guess. Bounce, bounce, baby. So there was really no reason behind the naming, calling it the kangaroo, but it stuck to me because obviously, you know, we wanted to do something that had Australia in mind when it came to a cocktail, but that's what we got. So we got a vodka martini, but it's delicious because we love vodka anyway.
And I'm actually kind of surprised that we haven't done a vodka martini on the show yet.
We've done dirty martini.
Yeah.
We did that when we had Jose on as a guest when Trish was nowhere to be found that week.
Yeah, she was down south in Florida.
Visiting her family.
Yeah. Mm, super
not,
busy.
Not dead bleeding on a couch.
All right. So I feel like we need to touch base on that. So Christopher, what the hell happened to your knee?
So there's a little bit of dirt drinking going on.
All right.
I started with brunch.
I need to let you guys know he is on the bus today.
I'm hurting.
Serious struggle bus.
But understandably, I mean, like, Sunday's your day off.
Exactly.
And you were celebrating a 21st birthday, so.
Yeah, it was a buddy I work with. His birthday, he turned 21 last week, so we all went out to brunch in New Haven. And then the Hops Brewing Company, THC Brewery in Derby, I believe it is, they were holding an Oktoberfest yesterday. So we went there, and, you know, they had the big liter beers if you were getting a German beer or any of the ones from the Hops Brew, any of their home brews. You can get the big boys. So we were drinking a lot of those, and It was a lot of fun. I did some dancing. I was pulled on stage by the MC, and I was doing the ticky-tacky, hoi, 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 getting everyone to hundreds of people. My friends are like, we thought we heard you. I'm like, yeah, they gave me a microphone.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Don't
and then
do that.
I was dancing with the Schuhplattler group, which I'm totally going to be joining. I have the information.
Oh, my God.
I can't wait. I did pretty good, too.
You need to take it, like, group by group. You just joined a group.
Right. The Hartford Sängerbund. That's a singing
Not system. A word. The Hartford German group?
It's like the German-American club.
Yeah.
And what is it called again?
The Hartford Sängerbund, which is like a singing, it means like singing society. It's a singing group. Sängerbund. Sängerbund, yeah.
So Bund means society?
In that, yes.
Oh, okay. I learned something. Yay. I can actually pronounce a German word instead
it's
of
like,
jawohl.
It means, yes, exactly. It means sing, like singing society. But yeah, we went to Oktoberfest yesterday. And then what happened was... Well, what happened was I was being responsible, so I didn't want to drive home. So I got a ride home, but I forgot that I left my house keys in my car.
Mess.
And I live in like a little gated community, like the building, so I couldn't break in. So I was climbing the like fence, and I guess I put too much force when I pulled myself up, and I think I just went over. So I woke. so I woke up on the couch, still in my lederhosen. All bandaged the fuck up, blood all over my freaking blanket. I was like, did I bandage myself up? I'm like, no, there's no way this happened. There was a bottle of peroxide and bandages all over the place. So I was like passed out and Jose just fixed me.
Yeah.
So that being said, before we jump into hearing from our sponsor, I want to say that Jose texted me this morning, was like, I'm surprised that Chris didn't text you and be like, see, look, I was an adult. I bandaged myself up.
Nope, not happening. No. It was totally Jose.
Just like that picture Hans wants to see. When it's like, oh, I think I was good last night. I put myself to bed.
When he Skypes in, I'll show him the photo. Yeah. But only when he Skypes in.
You do know that if you keep reminding him, he's going to keep hounding you for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know, but it's funny.
I know, exactly.
It's I only Hans. Have about another year that I can get away with this before it's just like now it's like, oh, that's Chris, but soon it's going to be like, oh, that's Chris.
We're super excited. He'll be joining us in about 2 weeks, right? Because he's
dropping. Oh, yeah, I'm super fucking excited. Yeah.
Trish is the most excited one here.
I know she is.
So all this being said, I think it's time to hear a message from our sponsors.
Right? All right, let's listen to a quick message from our sponsors and we'll be back.
Tonight's episode is brought to you by Studio Sweden. If you're looking for an affordable headset with amazing sound quality, style, and comfort, head on over to studiosweden.com and take a look at the selection of headsets available. With an amazing variety, you are sure to find one that suits your style and needs. Use discount code GAYTALK2.0 for 15% off your entire order, and remember, it's free shipping worldwide. studiosweden.com. Now back to the show.
Well, can I get a yes, queen?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like NPR now. We're the real deal. Commercials and stuff.
It's like, seriously, go out. Guys, don't forget to use that discount code. That's 15% off. That's like, hello. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And free shipping worldwide.
Hello.
We need to get 1-800-CONTACTS to sponsor us because I need some discounts on that.
1-800-CONTACTS.
Work on it.
Fine.
Work on it. Let's see if we can get them on the show.
Because I need glasses, too.
They've got a lot of gay people that wear contacts.
I'm not gonna address what you just said, Chris. Oh. I'm gonna move right into my story. So as we know, so we saw this week.
We did.
The United Nations had the chance to vote on banning the death penalty for homosexuality. Now, how do we feel about that as a group? Should it be banned?
I believe that it should.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, it definitely should be banned.
I believe so.
So it was opposed by a total of 13 countries in the UN, in the UN's Human Rights Council. While, of course, several of them were in Africa and the Middle East, the U.S. surprisingly voted against the measure as well.
See, but I'm hearing conflicting stories on this.
They ended up voting for the banning of it, but in the Human Rights Council specifically, they were opposed.
So why vote for it in one council and then oppose it in the next?
Now, that I don't know, that I would have to do research on.
Yeah.
So stop calling me out on my homework.
Okay.
Well, you only half-assed it then.
Oh!
Fortunately, the resolution passed on Friday regardless, with 27 countries voting in favor for it.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. It doesn't just call for the end of capital punishment for homosexuality, but condemns its use as a sanction for specific forms of conduct such as apostasy, blasphemy, and adultery, and consensual same-sex relations, and against minors, pregnant women, and mentally disabled. the countries that voted against the resolution, which will get a fucker, I'll get there, mm-hmm. were Bangladesh, Botswana, Rwanda, China, Japan, Qatar, Egypt, Ethiopia, India, Iraq, and the United Arab Emirates, and Saudi Arabia.
Of course.
Which all of these countries currently have death penalties for sodomy. So to all those countries, fuck her.
Fuck her.
But
delayed.
Yeah, but how? Okay, so you're saying all of those.
Wait, hold on, Chris. I don't get any claps for saying all of those countries correctly.
Well, because you didn't say one correctly.
Which one?
Burundi.
Burundi. Okay, I knew I was going to fuck up. I was like, I got this. He's going to give me something. And then I didn't.
What did you say? Like Burunda.
Burunda?
Burundi, I think I said.
Yeah, Burundi.
You said with an A. It was at the end.
But I got Botswana, right?
Yeah. I mean, that one's pretty phonetically. Botswana.
Okay, well, anyway, this isn't, as much as we're laughing about this, it's not funny. Like, no, the fact that all actually, of these countries voted against it and do have death penalties for.
Are you sure that all of those nations have a death? Like, Japan will put you to death if you're caught doing sodomy. Japan? I wasn't sure by the wording if it's Saudi Arabia, which currently has the death penalty.
You might be right. No, because Egypt also, I believe, has the death penalty as well.
Which mm-hmm. wouldn't surprise me, but I was studying with someone from China, and definitely parts of China are very difficult, but he was saying that, I mean, he's out there, like he's openly gay, and they're not, he doesn't.
Yeah, but they don't catch him like
right. You can, I think,
plowed.
Right. I think you can be openly gay in some of these countries. It's being caught in the act or acting on your homosexuality is the illegal part of homosexuality.
Gotcha.
So basically, you can be gay, you just can't.
Well, everybody's gay. I mean, we're all happy at some point in time, right? It's just.
And also with like some of these laws, I'm not standing up and defending it, but a lot of times these are some like old laws that they just never went back and changed. Like there are so many crazy laws.
But a lot of these countries are also standing by these
that
laws.
Is very true. Of course, that's why I said I'm not defending these nations because a lot of them are persecuting people for homosexual acts, whether it be imprisoning them or putting them to death. I'm not standing up against that. But like I said, I feel like some countries might just have this law and they just never went to their parliament or their form of their Senate to change the laws. But like I said, I'm not at all standing up because I'm sure Qatar and Egypt are not the best places for someone to be gay.
No. And especially like, for example, even in the United Arab Emirates, it is illegal to be homosexual. And even if you're even flamboyant, that is enough for them to start picking with you and like mm-hmm. Following you around. I have several friends who are gay, and they literally, when they go to that country, they delete their Grindr apps. They delete everything off their phone. Mm-hmm. They don't go there with any trace whatsoever. They go through their pictures and delete everything because it is.
I would have to wear shoes all the time.
You would literally need to be like clothed from neck to.
I would have to take off my rainbow anklet. I'd have to cover up my rainbow tattoo. I would not be able to speak.
I was just about to say, you would not be able to
no,
speak.
It's serious. Like, I'm never...
You probably have to sit in a wheelchair, too, because once you start sashaying around, everybody knows.
I noticed the other day, somebody was videoing me doing something, and I was just walking, and I was like, holy fuck, my hips really sway.
Like, honey, they sway more than the George Washington Bridge in, like, 90, like, mile-an-hour winds.
Well, I hope that shit don't sway that much.
Oh, it does.
But, actually, this is actually a perfect segue, though. Am I wrong about the email that we got this week? Do we want to talk about that on the show?
Sure, let's talk about it.
So last week, Chris brought up a story that Hans...
Hans mm-hmm. had reached out to us to talk about it.
Yeah, and I don't know, Chris, do you want to take this on? Do you have the email in front of you?
Nope. If you have it, I'm looking for it, but if you have it, just start.
All right, so we talked about last week, how do you pronounce the country, Chris? Because, I'm going to say
Azerbaijan.
Yeah.
Azerbaijan.
So we have a listener who actually is a big fan of the show, and he lives there currently, and he emailed us to fill us in about what is actually going on over there right now. Mm-hmm. And what he said was, I was so happy that you mentioned the crackdown on LGBTs, which happened in the capital of Baku.
Baku, yep.
Here 2 weeks ago during your show. Good job. When it happened, I was horrified at first of the very little reaction it generated from Western countries, and other institutional institutions. Frankly speaking, it was hideous, and there were several cases of ill treatment, not to mention forced outings and shame more generally. You might be pleased to know that all of them have been released. They were all released on Tuesday. So 100 or so were 100 or so were still detained, and all of them have been released on Tuesday of this week. So that's really good to know. However, the fact that this happened is a huge issue in general.
Of course it is. It shouldn't be happening in today's world.
The Council of Europe and other human rights organizations have been very vocal the week after the arrest. So were you guys. Great, thanks. I can't say the country.
Azerbaijan.
And the government has been obviously forced to step down and drop the charges they initially filed against these people. So that's amazing to hear.
It is, you know.
But it's still scary to think that countries can do this.
But that's if you look at that region. Azerbaijan is like southwest. Southeast, excuse me, of the Russian Caucasus area of Chechnya. So with that kind of heat taking on in that part of the world, it's only natural, unfortunately, that some of these nations are going to start following suit, because these are incredibly religious nations. Mm-hmm. Azerbaijan, Chechnya is like, I believe Chechnya is like 98% Muslim. Like, it's a crazy, crazy high amount of incredibly religious people, so they're going to definitely put that into it. And like you were saying, remember, they were viewing homosexuality as spreading diseases. They were like, this is going to spread AIDS, any STDs. Right. That's why they want to eradicate the gays, in a sense. So that's the climate in these regions. And I love that he was pointing out that he wasn't hearing so much from the Western world, and that he was happy to hear that we were talking about it. We are getting that conversation going.
You know, as a show, that is the power that we have. We have the power of a voice and talk, and to be able to discuss important issues that happen internationally, nationally, here at home. And when we do that, we bring awareness. And, mm-hmm. you know, just like other governments in Europe at this point obviously started talking about it and protesting against what they were doing, That's the gift that we can give our community. It's our voices.
But this listener is completely right. I mean, if it weren't for Hans, I know I can't stand you, Hans, but thank you for sharing that story with us. I hadn't heard about this. I don't know if you two had. So Hans sharing that story with us gave us the opportunity to enlighten our listeners with this story, and then this listener reaching out to us to let us know, okay, well, this is actually what's happening. And the fact that over 100 people were arrested mm-hmm. on thoughts. Not even confirmation, and people being outed.
Mm-hmm. And then they weren't releasing them until they were outing other people, so they can find more. It's very sad, and it's very disgusting.
But that's what, I mean, like, correct me if I'm wrong, that engagement with our listeners is what I hope for every week. And I'm not going to mention your name, because I know that you're living in this current situation out there, but I appreciate the fact that you took the time to reach out to us and let us know what's actually happening over mm-hmm. there. And it meant a lot to me, and I'm sure it meant a lot to you guys.
Yes, that's what keeps us coming back every Monday when we hear from people across the globe.
Yeah.
That we're really helping to bring we're making a community across the globe at that point. We know each other, and we're sharing each other's stories. We're teaching one another. Like you said, I hadn't heard about the story till Hans brought it up. So not only are we trying to enlighten our listeners, but it's enlightening ourselves.
Right, and I think the biggest point of the show, from my perspective at least, is yes, we have a large community locally and nationally, but we're a community internationally. Mm-hmm. We need to learn how do we best support one another internationally.
And it's great when they reach out. You know, like you said before, that is an amazing part of what we do, is being able to interact with our listeners and people who listen to the show and give us all the information that we can then relay to the masses mm-hmm. as we do our show week after week. You know, another one of those amazing examples, last week we got an email from our listeners up in Toronto, Dan and Tony. Mm-hmm. And they were, you know, talking about the fact that we were mentioning what was going on in Chechnya, and they mentioned a name to us. And I know that last week we promised that we were going to do some research.
Oh my God, Tommy! Fucking segue.
Yeah,
Nailed it.
Yeah, he was on with that one.
So, you know, Chrystia Freeland, that was the name that they said that we needed to sort of kind of do a little bit of background on and find out a little bit more about her and what she does and or what she has done. So I did some research and I was looking into her name and I found out that, of course, you know, this woman has a very, very strong stance on Russia and our own government. She is currently the Canadian foreign minister. So can we get a meanwhile?
Meanwhile,
in Canada. Sorry, I was really confused.
I was following you.
So Chrystia Freeland, again, she's the Canadian foreign minister whose recent statements regarding the U.S. and its status as a leading power in the world has caused quite a stir in her country at a time where Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and his administration have not publicly been critical of Trump, a.k.a. our moron president, and his administration. Mm-hmm. So the New York Times reported, quote, the speech was a signal that the government of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau intends to take a bigger role in international affairs. Canada has already been stepping up in its efforts with global warming, even before President Trump's withdrawal from the Paris Climate Accord. And, you know, they want to take a more active role on their trade. So I started reading, and then according to Paul Heinbecker, a former foreign policy advisor for several Canadian governments, who was also the country's ambassador to the United Nations, said, quote, I saw it as being based on a recognition that Washington can't and won't lead. So this is basically that was part of her statement saying that, you know, Washington has no ability of being able to lead and won't.
Well, to tag on that a little bit, I think that's completely true.
It is.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad that the world is waking up. I mean, I want to say that this country is a global leader, but right now we are not the global leader of the free world, and we need other countries to step up. And it makes me so proud to see countries like Canada and Germany stepping up and taking mm-hmm. that position.
And she's been very vocal. So she's obviously a very big opposition voice to the Trump administration. And
who isn't?
Everybody. Yeah. And what Russia is doing around the world to influence other democratic governments in favor of the Russian agenda. She's a Canadian writer, a journalist, and now a politician. She's got two books under her belt. The first one was Sale of the Century, a book released in 2000 about Russia's journey from communism to capitalism. And, of course, the other book was Plutocrats, The Rise of the New Global Super Rich and the Fall of Everyone Else, which she released in 2012. As a journalist, her career has seen work for publications like The Washington Post, The Financial Times in New York and in London, and The Economist while living in Ukraine. She loves the Russian people. She has an affinity for that area of the world. She spent a lot of time there, but she has no gives a fucks whatsoever for Putin and what he's doing and in the surrounding areas at all. Freeland was one of 13 Canadians banned from traveling to Russia under retaliatory sanctions imposed by the Russian President Vladimir Putin in March of 2014. Her reply through her official Twitter feed read the following. Love my Ruslan culture. Love my years in Moscow, but it is an honor to be on Putin's sanctions list.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
So, I mean, this is a very intelligent woman. This woman speaks seven languages. She speaks Ukrainian at home with her children, English, and she's conversant in French. And she also speaks Russian, Spanish, Polish, and Italian. So to Tony, our friends Tony and Dan over in Toronto, thank you for pointing this out. In reading, what I surmise from this woman is that she spent a lot of time in that region, as I said before, and she has love for the people, but no love whatsoever for this government and what they're doing to the world. And of course, she has no love for the government in the U.S., as most Americans don't either. So, baby girl, I do not blame you. Be vocal. Do what you got to do. Do it from Canada. Canada's doing what it needs to be doing, and it's doing it well.
And it's definitely true. I love how she says, I saw it as being based on the recognition that Washington can't or won't lead. And it's so true. Obviously, we know what happened with Mike Pence when he walked out of the football game. I believe it was yesterday.
That was a stunt.
Exactly. And I got an update, and it was a victory for Trump TV. CNN was saying, an analyst, Pence's NFL walkout is a perfect example of the president as the puppet master of a giant reality show he's producing.
And can we also need, it needs to be mentioned that he took Air Force Two.
Yes.
To and from this game and then back to Los Angeles. He had to go from where he was, got picked up, brought to the game, then flew back, and then went to LA for some sort of
event. Why do you think?
He's using taxpayer dollars to be flown around the country so that he can go to a game with a pre-notion of well, he already knew that if these people
he had a planned Grindr hookup in LA.
Hello.
You know, did you see the estimate of how much it cost taxpayers for this trip?
Oh, it's
like $200,000.
It's insane.
To do this. He knew very well that that's exactly what he was going to do there. He did it for the cameras. He's like, oh, look, I'm a patriot because there's a camera on me.
Who was the health secretary? Price.
Yeah.
Price? He just literally resigned for the same thing.
The same exact thing. Yeah.
For taking, you know, a private plane for government functions and spending $30,000 a pop. To and from. He took a plane from D.C. to freaking Philadelphia.
I think I'm onto him. I think he's like, I know my way out. If I just fly at taxpayers' expense, I'll get enough scrutiny and I'll have to resign.
That's bullshit.
And that's how he gets out of it.
No, that's bullshit because what does Trump do? He flies back and forth to Mar-a-Lago constantly, spending all the fucking money in the world. That man has spent more money on vacations than Obama has in his 4 years.
And his security prices, no one has ever... like come close to that price for how much money it costs, how much we have to pay to make sure everyone is protected.
It is insane.
And this bitch wants to cut money for the rich. Mm-hmm. He wants to have tax reform for the rich. I don't know. The other day here we go, Bernie. Chris, get your Bernie figure ready. There it is. I was watching a video that was published by Bernie or his campaign or people, whatever. But it was basically one percenters.
Mm-hmm.
It was one percenters talking about why his tax form makes no sense for the America that we know and love today.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense because they're all sitting around saying, we are fine. Mm-hmm. We have the money to support the infrastructure that taxes support and the people that taxes support. What we need to do is cut taxes for people that can't get ahead,
right,
and let us take a little bit of the burden and support the country and get it to where it needs to be. Meanwhile, Trump is doing the exact fucking opposite.
Well, he just wants tax deductions for his businesses.
Right.
And, you know, getting personal rid of the inheritance tax.
Because that bitch is broke.
And in doing so, his children will stand to inherit millions or billions without having to pay any taxes on it because it's all inherited.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They have a plan, and these people are not stupid. I just hope that the American people are not as stupid enough to believe the shit that's coming out of these people's mouths, and they better smarten up, and come 2018, y'all better do what you need to do.
Exactly.
But
get
we
out
need
there.
To make sure that the power that this man has is yanked right out of under him. Literally, just yank the rug right off. We need to have a more balanced, U.S. Congress, whether it be Democrats.
We also need a Democratic fucking platform reform completely.
Yeah, that whole party needs to figure its shit out.
We need a lot of work. And, you know, we need to have either a Democratic Senate or a Democratic House. One of them, there needs to be balance and power for things to work, because this shoving shit down people's faces and just saying this is what we're going to pass and we don't need the Democrats to do it, there's no bipartisanship whatsoever, and they're just going to try.
Right.
You know, what's saving us right now is the grassroots movement that are taking place, that are happening when people walk into their senators' offices and their congressmen and women and say, we don't want this. That's what saved us with healthcare. That's what possibly might save us with this insane tax reform that they're trying to throw out there, and it's probably the only thing that we have until election 2018.
Well, also right now we may possibly have a chance of bipartisanship when it comes to the plague of gun violence that's swept across the nation for many, many years, especially now with the GOP saying they are looking into, or they will consider, the idea of banning bump stocks.
Bump stocks are one thing. We need to look deeper.
Right,
but even the NRA came up and said that they would look into banning bump stocks.
Because fully automatic weapons are not legal anyway.
Right.
So something that can make them fully automatic be legal and accessible?
And it shouldn't.
Exactly.
No.
So there might be some bipartisanship coming up that route.
So hold on one second. I'm glad that this is finally happening and people are coming together to ban bump stocks, but it's a step in the right direction, but there needs to be more reform. I mean, let's be honest. look around the fucking world. America, per capita, per individual, own more guns. This country owns more guns than any other country in the entire world. Mm-hmm, and if absolutely. You put countries together, we own individuals more than... Why the fuck do we need to own that? Are we really... If you were to raise arms against your government at this point in history...
They would wipe you out
They would wipe you out. And I know that that's the point, and that's what it was put in the Constitution. But at the end of the day, your bump stocks, your semi-automatic weapons aren't going to stop them from what they want
to
do.
And you also have to remember, when they put that Second Amendment into our Bill of Rights...
It was fucking gunpowder.
It was, you were firing 2 shots a minute if you were good.
This is not, like, I mean, like...
Not 400 a minute.
Hashtag watch Braveheart. If you want to fucking, if you want to flip this country, you got to learn from that motherfucker, because he did it with gunpowder and fucking...
Braveheart?
Was it Braveheart?
Gunpowder?
No, I'm talking
about... Girl, he got ripped to shreds.
Not Braveheart, Braveheart. The Patriot?
The Patriot. With Mel Gibson. Oh, it's also Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson. Badass motherfucker tore it up. Yeah,
but don't give him too much credit. He hates
Braveheart
Jewish people.
Braveheart happened in England.
I love that movie.
Yeah,
it was
Braveheart
based in England.
Yeah, Braveheart is Scotland. I was like, the Scottish people.
Sorry, I love The Patriot. I got it confused.
Braveheart's good too, though.
Yeah, it is. It
but he gets fucked up at the end. Spoiler alert.
So, Christopher, I know you have a story, but we do have a guest that we need to get on the line, so we need to take a quick break.
Okay.
Do you want to cover that story when we come back?
We'll cover it when we get back.
Fantastic. So we're going to play some music. We will be right back.
To pull you up above the earth, well, I will lift you up to show you just how much you're worth. 'Cause we need to be loved. So we need to be loved. If I heart just like a crown, and if it beats for me, then I would never put it down.
father, what will you make of me? I am not a disease. I am not a disease. Oh, father, what will you make of me? I am not a disease. I am not a disease. I can't love in the same ways as you. I am faithful and honest and true. Dad, I know you. I wish this were easy to do. Oh, Father, of me. I am not a disease. I am not a disease. Oh, Father, what will you make of me? I am not a disease.
Right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the break. That was Invisible Running by Jens East, We Need to Be Loved, and the new one, Oh Father, by our previous guest, Anthony Starble. And now joining us all the way from the land down under, where you can box with kangaroos, you can watch a koala or two chewing up on some eucalyptus, enjoy a beer or Vegemite on toast, Mr. Chris Entwistle is with us via Skype. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
Wonderful to have you. I know that we've been talking about the situation in Australia now on the show for several weeks, and we're interested in learning what the climate is like in your country and your perspective on the situation regarding marriage equality. So, again, welcome to the show, guys. Did you want to?
Well, first, I was just going to ask, tell us about you. where you came from, how you got to your place of activism and strength, yeah. And just what's going on with you?
Yeah. So my background to the gay community actually took place through churches. I grew up in a very religious family in the western part of Sydney. So I was lucky enough to find my feet in a local gay church in Sydney. And the work that they do in, supporting gay youth that have just come out, that are from churches that don't accept them, from families that have a very different approach and opinion about their sexuality to what is good for them and what is healthy. So a lot of the stuff that I did when I first came out was with churches. And I suppose that kind of awareness of community views outside of our bubble, our inner city bubble in gay communities, I suppose, gave me inspiration for what I'm doing in this current marriage equality campaign we have in Australia. So, yeah.
So, wait, you said something about a gay church. Can you
elaborate
on that a little bit? Because I've never experienced a gay church in my entire life.
We have one in New Haven.
Oh, well, you need to go, darling. Like,
church
that's
on the green.
I had no idea. So tell me about that. What is it?
Absolutely. Well, it's actually an organization based in your merry old land in America. It's a church community called Metropolitan Community Church. So most major cities in America have a branch, have a congregation. And in Sydney, we're lucky enough, we have three. So, and on top of that, there are also a few denominations that that do support gay rights. But MCC really have become a home for the gay community that have grown up in religious families.
So you still find yourself you're still very religious then?
Yeah, definitely.
It's interesting to me because I grew up Italian Catholic, and I cannot find my way back into any type of religious faith because
organized religion
because it makes me what they preach and what as a child what they told me and what they told people that I knew were also gay in my youth group, if you will, it was so derogatory and it just tore us down, and it was hard to get through that time in my life and to go back to it, even though it may be a gay sanction of a church or a religion. I don't know how I would find my way back into that world.
Do you know, Nick, your story is reflected in the lives of so many gay people in Australia, and I'm sure in America. And my perspective when I came out was I was quite angry when I came out. Mm-hmm. And so I saw my action of maintaining my faith and continuing to be involved in a church community as an act of rebellion, because the best thing that they could hope for me to lose my faith and to walk away from church and to no longer be involved in their community. But, you know, I did the opposite. I became even more involved in the church and became even more passionate about my faith and trying to spread a more inclusive message that did support the mental health and well-being of the gay youth in those churches.
Which is so important. I don't know if you've listened to our show at all, but we've talked recently and we've had Linda Stay on our show, who is from Utah. She is a Mormon, or was, and is no longer part of that faith. And how religion in that area has increased homelessness in our LGBTQ youth.
Suicide
in our LGBTQ youth. It's to hear about and to know that it's in New Haven, because I had no idea,
yeah,
and I live in New Haven, that there are religions that these people that were born and believe so deeply in this can go to and be supported fully for who they are is beautiful and really important.
And you know what? Like, the visibility of these organizations is just so limited. So, you know, if anyone's listening and is from a religious background and they are hurting and they do want to seek out a supportive community, do a Google search. Like, you would be amazed to see what you find in your local community. I guarantee if you live in a town of any substance or any kind of critical mass, there would be some sort of organization or community that would hook you up with support or services that are religious in nature and will support you in your faith journey. Absolutely.
I've seen there are handfuls of churches throughout the state of Connecticut where they'll fly rainbow flags out. Mm-hmm. I've seen one in Chester. Like you said, New Haven, I believe, has two churches. Mm-hmm. So it is important, because I was in the same boat as Nick. I grew up in a pretty religious family. My grandparents used to always bring me to church. But I just found myself moving away from I grew up Catholic, not even wanting to step into a church. And I feel the same way. It's hard to get yourself back in there, but driving around and seeing flags out there can be, it's more visible and can be more inclusive. So I do think it's great that we have, and what was the church that the
Metropolitan Community Church. So like I said, they're massive over in the States. So, your listeners would surely be able to find one, in their nearest major city.
Now, all this being said, complete sidetrack, because we want to talk about Australia and what's going on over there. So tell us about what you do and how you got involved in supporting Marriage Equality Australia.
Yeah. So like I said, I became aware of the need to connect with communities out in the western suburbs of Sydney where I grew up. And that really sprung out of going to a protest march. So a bit of really quick context for your listeners. Australia is in a position where the right for same-sex couples to get married is being voted on publicly, and it is being done so through what the government is calling a survey.
Now, is it a vote or a poll?
It's so to enable the government to be able to make this a vote, an act of parliament is required. And unfortunately, or not unfortunately, the opposition and all the minor parties banded together and blocked that from happening. So what the government did to try and get around that is they used the Australian Bureau of Statistics to commission a survey. So this was challenged by the High Court. They took this case to the court, and unfortunately the High Court said, no, this is fine, go ahead. So ballots, little survey forms have been sent out to every Australian household from September the 12th, and they are voting on those forms and sending them back in the post.
So in essence... they're basically taking the temperature of the Australian people to see where they're at regarding marriage equality.
Yeah. And they're doing so as, I suppose, a last resort, because they promised at the last election that they would assess public opinion on this issue before they moved any legislation. And to be really honest with you, this is literally the worst possible method they could have come up with. Like, I don't know about you. Think about the last time you posted a letter. Like, wrote a letter and put it in an envelope and walked down to the local post box and put it in the box. Like, this is 100% designed to exclude our generation.
It's disastrous.
And there's no online forum for this at all. It's all
only if you live overseas. If you live overseas, you're able to access an online method of doing this. They have made it available for people who are homeless. But, you know, people in my generation, we move from place to place so quickly. So most people don't have their enrollment address updated. Right. So their ballot has gone to the wrong address. There's all sorts of instances of people buying votes or selling them online. And, you know, it's a bit of a mess.
That's dirty. That's disgusting. Yeah. Buying votes and selling it online. I didn't even think about that. I knew that by studying this for the past couple of weeks that a lot of people were not happy about the method that the government is using this, but that's dirty shit.
Well, I mean, when you start to think about the logistics of this, you know, as he mentioned as well, you know, people have to make sure that they have the correct registered address to be able to get a form to begin with. So the fact that they're making this, you know, having to bring it down to your local post office and mail it in is excluding the millennial generation in its entirety, because we're used to doing everything online. We're used to be doing everything
paperless.
And that put such a big burden on that particular generation.
What's crazy is I didn't even think about that. When you just brought that up, I didn't even like clock that it probably is horrible for the millennial generation, because it's, you know, they're sending out polls, you fill in the poll like the census and you send it in and whatever. But I didn't even think about the fact that most things I do now, everything I get in the mail generally gets tossed.
Yeah, exactly.
Because everything I pay is online or automatic, so I don't even think about it. That's crazy to think about.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So, when it comes to the climate currently in your country, we've been getting a lot of emails from listeners in Australia with pictures and a lot of graffiti and negativity and a lot of
anti-gay marriage,
anti-gay propaganda being posted all over Australia. What is it like right now, as you see it?
Oh, look, people are over it. This survey is going for actually quite a long time. So the ballots, like I said, were mailed out on the 12th of September. They're not announcing the result until the 15th of November. So that's 2 months. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's on paper. They have to count it. Like,
That's two months of our lives being put under the microscope by the entire Australian population, subjected to a public vote. And you're right, like, there have been some really dirty tactics employed by the No campaign. So, I mean, something that comes to mind is in the multicultural areas of Sydney, they've been distributing leaflets in different languages saying that, you know, the gay agenda is for your children to never have babies, and, you know, the gays are trying to take over the education curriculum. And then there's been commercials on TV about the result of gay marriage or same-sex marriage being that your children will be forced to wear dresses as part of gender re-education. Your kids are going to be forced to reenact same-sex relationships in, you know, sex health classes.
When they put these things out there, is there any, I mean, like, do they provide any fact, or are they just throwing bullshit out at these people in hopes that they catch them, kind of like Trump did with his dumbass supporters?
What they're trying to do is muddy the water. So this survey is about marriage equality. It's not about whether or not gay couples should be allowed to adopt children. That ship has sailed in Australia. We allow that. There are over 3,000 same-sex relationships that have children. So by bringing the issue back to that, they're trying to muddy the water, and, you know, they're trying to make it about the education curriculum. Everything else except same-sex marriage is what their campaign has focused on. And, you know, if you stir up enough fear, if you throw in enough uncertainty into the mix, you will get a result from the people. And the truth of the matter is that as people have polled public opinion throughout this campaign, unfortunately, the yes vote has actually reduced and the no vote has increased. So they have been successful to some degree, which is really upsetting.
Now, sorry. Go ahead. No, I was just going to ask, is there a percentage for that at all? Like, what is the yes versus the no currently at this point?
So, I mean, like all polls, we have to take them with a grain of salt. We all know.
We know. Yeah, we know. Tell us about it.
And throw some pepper in there, too.
Essentially, the reliable information that we have is the Australian Bureau of Statistics. They've been releasing once a week the total percentage of votes received. So as of Tuesday last week, they received 57.5% of all survey forms. So that's a decent response rate.
Yeah.
Off that, the Galaxy polls that have been conducted have indicated around about 60% of those who sent their responses back have voted yes. So
that's amazing.
And we had talked about this on the show in the past. Correct me if I'm wrong. If the majority of the votes come back in favor of yes, then Parliament will move forward on a vote.
So that's correct. This is a non-binding action. So just because we get a yes vote does not necessarily mean that we're over the line yet. Mm. The government still needs to pass the legislation. And so the next hurdle we have to jump is what will that legislation look like? Mm. What kind of protections will be put in place for organisations that don't want to provide services for same-sex unions or same-sex marriage? The current government, they're a Liberal government. Don't think Canadian Liberal. Don't think Justin Trudeau on Bondi Beach in a pair of Speedos. they're conservatives. They are very conservative. And so they will be the people who introduce that legislation. So I don't imagine there'll be there'll be a lot of attention placed on protecting people's freedom to say no to same-sex marriage.
Was there any particular person who in your government that's spearheading this effort for marriage equality, anyone in your form of government? Do you guys call it Parliament or?
Yeah. So in Parliament, both the leaders of the major parties, so the Labour and the Liberal Party, are in favour of same-sex marriage. So Malcolm Turnbull, our Prime Minister, and Bill Shorten, the opposition leader. Bill Shorten gave a fantastic oration at the first rally we had in response to this plebiscite, this survey. But there's a figure, our ex-Prime Minister Tony Abbott, who really has emerged as the figurehead spearheading this no campaign. And his main, argument has been that by legislating for same-sex marriage, we may potentially undermine freedom of speech. So again, muddying the water, and how you get from letting two people who love each other marry to your freedom of speech being compromised, I don't know.
Right. It makes no sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, really,
That's really fun. Is the show Please Like Me, is that big out there? Was that on TV? Did everyone watch that?
Yeah. It's a huge show, and Josh Thomas is he's the lead actor. He has done an incredible job of pulling out politicians. We have a TV show on our public broadcaster where politicians, celebrities, and community activists kind of get put on a panel and grilled.
I watched that today. I watched one of them today.
Yeah. So Josh Thomas has been on those panels a number of times, and he has slayed a few politicians.
Well, he's great. I love that show.
He's awesome. So the last guy, this is a really crazy conservative who doesn't believe there are any gay people in his electorate. He just took him down to a level. So that's good.
Well, I need to see this.
That would be amazing.
Oh, they're great. I think the reason I bring it up is because I feel like I was studying in Germany and I was watching that show, and that made me feel that Australia must be this very progressive and liberal nation. And so many other people that I talk to feel that way. Like, why do you think so many people unwillingly just assume that Australia is this progressive nation?
Because historically we have been, there have been some horrible things we've done in our past, but you know, that was a real sort of period, when I was young, when we were kind of at the forefront of, you know, other key issues like race discrimination, equal rights and equal pay for women. And we tend to be more of a redistributive country in terms of our economics. So we are quite left wing in that sense. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to social issues, I have to say, like, you know, I used to be one of those people who thought my country is quite progressive. We will get there. But this entire debacle has really actually affected my own perception of my country. It has made me really, really unhappy about the actions of our government. And, you know, we're all in a position in Australia at the moment, the LGBTIQ community, where our lives are really being put under the microscope. So, you know, if you've got mates in Australia that, you know, are living here and, you know, might be vulnerable to the No campaign, like, send them a message of support, just a small sort of shout out and checking up on them, seeing how they're going. That goes a long way, because they are under pressure. And, you know, some of the sort of mental health support services, they've reported up to 20% increases in people consulting those supports for services for, you know, suicide, you know, distress, anxiety. I've got a lot of friends of mine who've had to go back to counseling and therapy because they feel as though the trauma of high school and the trauma of coming out has been reopened right. by this debate.
Have you or the community seen an increase in hate crime or suicide or self-deprecation in any way since you feel as though your community in Australia has been put under this microscope with this poll?
Yeah. So like I mentioned, a lot of the mental health services, they banded together at the start of this survey campaign, and they basically called on the government to introduce laws to protect, the civility of the debate. Because there were no laws at the start when they first started this this campaign, they essentially didn't supply any protections or any limitations on freedom of what you can say. So you could say the most hateful thing you can imagine, and because this is a survey, it was kind of okay. So they banded together and said, look, we're noticing a spike in mental health concerns and check-ins, so we need help. And in terms of hate crimes, you know, you're right about receiving pictures from trains in Sydney where, you know, say no to faggots has been painted on trains. There's all sorts of stories about gay flags people have out the front of their house, gay letterboxes that they've put out because they want to show their support for marriage equality being defaced and vandalized. And sometimes for me, it's the things that don't really get noticed in a big way. So when I was doing my campaigning, so when I was at the train stations in Western Sydney handing out supportive leaflets for marriage equality, telling my story to the people going to the station, you know, every now and then you'd get the cold shoulder, or you'd get the never in your life, mate, or, you know, just the responses here and there that make you think, you know, maybe we aren't quite as far forward as we once thought. Yeah.
It's interesting, too, I think that, I mean, like for us right now with the Trump administration, or for you right now going through this process in Australia, when, like you say, we put an entire people underneath a microscope, that's when you see all the negative bullshit come out from it. Mm-hmm. Like, for God, during 8 years of Obama, I lived so comfortably and strong and happy and so proud of who I was. As soon as Trump became president, hate crime fucking right through the roof. People were scared. As gay people, we had a moment of like, holy fuck, what should we expect? Do I have to hide myself again? So I mean, like, I completely get what these people are going through out in Australia, but like, I don't know, it's just crazy when you put things under a microscope how finally you see people really react. And it's not a huge percentage, but it's enough for us to say, holy fuck, there are people that we need to talk to.
Right. Now, Chris, if you don't mind, can I ask, what is your role right now in the current situation in Australia, and what are you actively doing to support the cause of convincing people that, you know, this is something that's good for everyone? It's good for you, for our community, and for everyone in Australia.
Well, like I said, you know, the people who are undecided on this issue, they don't live in our bubble. So in Sydney particularly, a lot of the LGBTIQ community is concentrated in the inner suburbs. So having a big protest march in those suburbs and putting up, you know, your yes flag and the gay flag out the front of your place, it's awesome. And, you know, you should be proud to do that. But unfortunately, that message doesn't really travel beyond your bubble. And because, like I said, my background is in those western suburbs of Sydney. I come from a religious family, and I know the messages that we send don't really make it all the way there, or they get misunderstood. So it's really important for us to get out there ourselves, to physically be there and tell our stories. So what I've been doing is waking up at ungodly hours in the morning and getting to the train stations out near where my parents live, and just literally, I mean, I'll send you a copy of the leaflet I've been giving you out, but it just tells people who I am, that I grew up in this area, that in many ways I might be exactly like you. I might have gone to the same school as you. I might have gone played for the same hockey team that you played for, not your hockey, the hockey we play here. And, you know, and I'm not too different. You know, I just want to go home to a partner that I love and can marry. And that's the one difference at the moment that we're talking about. And so trying to humanize the issue and put a face to the issue, rather than, you know, seeing a bunch of people yelling and screaming on TV and thinking we're all a bunch of crazies.
Yeah.
Actually trying to see that we are from your area. We are part of your community, even though we might not be as visible out there.
Excellent. Because I saw on Facebook where you'd be going door to door and talking to people about that, which, like you said, you have to put a face to it. You have to like show these people that I'm one of you too. Like you said, I went to the same school you did. We go to the same grocery store.
I don't have a third arm.
Exactly. Like, so by going door to door and talking with all these different people, how would you, obviously you were encountering people that were going to vote yes, and of course you're going to encounter people that are going to vote no. How would you deal with some of the people who are planning to vote no or leaning toward the no?
So, I mean, you know, my own family's split down the middle on this issue. So I can't get angry at them because, you know, that's who they are. So responding to them, I suppose, is also an act of, even when they say no, it's also an act of, mediation. So your response when they say no to you is actually sometimes them trying to suss out who you are and what you're like. Mm-hmm. So you've got to show grace. You've got to show tolerance. Getting angry and uppity at someone because you've knocked on their door and they've given you an honest response
you do not want Trish doing your work. Trust me. Door, it will be over.
Hey, I have changed many a mind in my life.
You know, like people's views on this issue have changed so rapidly over the last few years. So there's still a way to go. People, you shouldn't confront people so hard on this issue that they fix their way and they fix their mind up about a matter. You should give people leeway and grace to be able to evolve and change their view on this, even after we've had this debate. So, you know, and that's important. It's important we remember that it's not just about getting the yes. It's also about how do we move forward as a community, a whole country, and be a place where it's good to grow up gay. It's good to grow up and be, you know, part of our community and to never have to experience rejection for the people you love.
I mean, I agree with you 100%. I mean, I do shove it down people's throats.
All
it's part of who I am, but But the thing. Oh wow.
Oh, I know. I didn't. I didn't think about it until you started laughing, Chris.
But anyway. But I think. I think. I think what you're.
Yes, that's what she said.
Chris, we can talk later. You know, that's fine. But I think what you're saying is right. I think you're right. You can't just force people to change their minds. But what we can do is, like I always say, and like you said when we first started our conversation, is be visible and let people learn who we are individually and as a couple or as a community. And that in itself, we hope within that beauty can change people and help change the rhetoric that has been taught for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And make Australia a better place for all Australians.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, Chris, listen, I want to thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time. First of all, what time is it where you're at right now?
It's actually it's almost 11 o'clock here. We've had daylight savings, so we got our times off. So I'm about to duck off to work, but thank you.
Okay, so it's 11 a.m. there?
Yeah, 11 a.m.
Okay, I'll be in bed shortly.
I want to thank you guys for your care about the this issue internationally. Like I said, having that message of support from around the world and from friends in other countries, it actually makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And that's the one opportunity we have right now in this climate, is to experience a bit of unity and to experience a bit more support and connectedness. As a community here in Australia. So well done, and thank you for your concern on this issue.
Oh, no, absolutely. Thank you for again, agreeing to come on the show and talk to us about the situation in Australia. And, November 15th is right around the corner. We would love to chat with you and get an outcome on what's going on.
For sure. That would be amazing.
If
yeah.
you are willing to do that with us, we can do like a completely separate episode just to talk about the experience and what the results were and update everyone around the world.
Okay. Look forward to it.
So, again, thank you so much. And listen, have a great day at work. Don't work too hard.
Okay. You boys enjoy your night.
Thank you.
Bye.
See you, Chris.
Bye.
So, it's amazing to see the stuff that's just going on around the world and how little our world is in comparison to the issues that go around.
I never imagined. I mean, starting, it's been, a year and a half now?
84 weeks.
That we would be having international conversations and opening our eyes to international issues and trying to bring awareness to areas.
It's important.
I was blind. Mm. I was blind before this podcast.
And I agree. And it's not that you were, intentionally. It's just, I don't think you want to say you were blind. I think this has just opened your eyes so much more.
Yes.
Well, I mean, the reality is that we live in a bubble. We live in our world. We live in the US of A. And, we think about the issues that affect us here locally. Yeah, nationally. But when it comes to international things, we sometimes don't really hear about them here because this dumb fuck that we have in the office does so much stupid shit that really nothing else filters through. A perfect example of that is all the shit that was released that week that in one day, okay, the Access Hollywood tape came out.
Mm-hmm.
The Podesta emails came out half an hour later. All this other shit there was news that the Russian was attacking our elections. As soon as that news broke, it took half hour before the Access Hollywood tape came out. Half hour after that, the Podesta emails were released. So, I mean, literally, there was no time for us to really gravel on the fact that all this was happening in such a short period of time. So,
people were all about Hillary's emails. But anyway,
and the context of that, it just shows you that we're so closed in when it comes to our what we look at here at home. So thank you to our listeners who have reached out and says, "Hey guys, there's stuff happening all over the world, and I wish that you guys would do a little bit more about that and what we're doing." With things like Australia, things with like what Chris reports in other regions, in the Russian area of things, we're doing because it is our effort to ensure that those people who don't have a voice,
right,
do. Mm-hmm.
We can be their voice. And it's so great that we do reach out and look for these stories to cover across the globe, but it's so nice when we can bring someone on from that region. When we're getting an email from someone who's living in Azerbaijan, we're talking to someone who's in Australia who can actually fill us in on the ground.
like really in real time what's going on.
I am really eager to find out what the results of this poll is going to be, and hopefully see a country move forward into what eventually will become marriage equality for that country.
Yeah, and you know what I think is really important, is a random side note, but also inclusive to what we're talking about, is just coming up, October 11th is National Coming Out Day for the United States. And I implore our listeners, if you feel strong enough to share your story, tell us how you came out, tell us what the process was, and then send it out to the world and tell the world that you stand for international LGBT equality, because this is our international struggle.
Mm-hmm. Put a face to the cause.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we're all going to do that. We're going to share our stories. So yes, we want you guys to share yours.
It may not be, I know that National Coming Out Day is Wednesday, right? It's this Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And we'll try to get the videos up, possibly post them on YouTube, but also on our websites. Mm-hmm. Christopher's like
blindsided. He wasn't here when we talked about this. Yeah. But,
you know, it just to let our listeners know a little bit about ourselves and who we are and what our stories are, and hopefully encourage others to do the same.
Mine's a Liz story. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Of course. Everything is a Liz story with him and knees.
And knees. Bloody knees.
So, Christopher, your story, I'm sorry.
Got
cut off because we got involved with our first segment.
I was eager to, I wanted to got through the break so we can get Chris on, because I was really looking forward to that conversation. This one I saw on Facebook, and it really hit home for me, because I was a Boy Scout. I never did get my Eagle Scout, but yes, I was a Boy Scout. And my mic's squeaking. George Takei, I love this stuff.
I'm surprised it's not his knees.
I love this stuff.
Is it Takei or Taki?
It's not Taki.
Okay.
Tiki-taki, tiki-taki.
Is that where you were going with it? That was clever. Went over my head. So he shared this video, and I was watching it, and it was about an Eagle Scout that had sent back his badge in protest. So his name was Sean Burns. He was a Boy Scout in the 90s, and he turned in his Eagle Scout badge in 2012 to protest the organization's policy of excluding gay members. And I know that I was part of the Boy Scouts. Burns wrote, "I am writing you today with great regret, because I feel I have no choice but to formally return my Eagle Scout award. I do this because the BSA, the Boy Scouts of America, has recently adopted a stance that excludes openly homosexual members. One of the men who I grew up with scouting is, and to the extent that we know, somewhat new during our time as scouts," that was a weird sentence, sorry, "always as a gay man. I assume that our leaders knew, as we did, that he might be gay. But this was a non-issue, and he was a good and dedicated scout. It is in his honor that I take this action." Later, the anti-gay policy was rescinded back in 2013. I remember when that vote was going on. And now the badge has been returned to him by the BSA CEO, Stephen A. Smith. Along with the badge, the CEO sent a handwritten letter. I saw it. It was a handwritten one. "A couple years ago, scouting changed. I kept your badge, but I misplaced it. Today, cleaning out a desk drawer, I found it. I remember getting your letter. I and our council worked hard for many years to get the National BSA position changed. Your note was a further inspiration to push harder for the change. I hope you'll accept your badge back and know your note made a difference." And I thought that was very sweet.
That's awesome.
And this year, the BSA also opened its doors to transgender members.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, the Boy Scouts of America, that was a really nice story. Because, I came out, and then a couple other...
How is that going to work? Okay, so if you accept transgender members, is it still going to be called the Boy Scouts of America?
Because if you're transgender and you're transitioning from a female to a male. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and then it obviously would be the Girl Scouts in the opposite direction. Okay, never mind, I answered my question.
But I just thought it was really sweet, because I know what it was like growing up. In my head, I was gay and I was in the Boy Scouts, and I knew that that wasn't allowed.
I was in the Boy Scouts. I didn't know it wasn't allowed, and I had plenty of fun.
Yes, it was. You can be kicked out because it's a private group, so it's not discrimination that you don't fit the criteria of joining this group. But now they've opened the doors, and it's just such a great organization, and it's great that people aren't going to be pushed away. You can learn much from the Scouts.
You're right. It is a great organization, and you see that Eagle Scouts, if you achieve an Eagle Scout level, there are endless possibilities for these people. I mean, that level of, what's the word I'm looking for when you when you're awarded a badge, but it's like, whatever, that merit, that level of merit can get you into so many schools. I mean, there's so much strength in being an Eagle Scout and now being able to go into the Boy Scouts as a homosexual male or as a transgender female to male. That opened so many doors for a community that was closed for so long. So it is really beautiful.
And it shows the thing that's so great about the Boy Scouts. And if you have the honor of being an Eagle Scout, it shows your commitment to the community. Because that's really what it is. Working together to help others and to learn a lot of stuff. It's not just, you know, tying knots and starting campfires, though that's fun stuff. But it really...
But that's important stuff.
It is important
stuff. What if the zombie apocalypse comes? You need to learn how to survive in the wild.
I weaved
baskets.
Yeah. I did get stung by a bunch of bees because I was building a shelter outside and it was built on top of a bee's
nest. I remember you telling this story
and
the
most
show.
Likely he was on his knees.
Okay. Like, we can never keep things nice, but good for you, BSA.
Yeah, it was nice. I was just making a reference to your little cut there that you got on your leg, but that's okay.
It's still a little tender.
So, just very quickly before we move on to another very important story that we have to talk about. 2 weeks ago, or actually 3 weeks ago, when we had Anthony Starbill on the show, we had mentioned a song called Oh Father. And we played it on the break, and I hope that you guys got a chance to listen to it. We will have it on the recording for the show. The lyrics are very, very, very poignant in someone coming out to their parents or to their father and speaking to the turmoil that one goes through trying to tell someone that you've looked up to all of your life that this is who I am in fear of retribution. And so to me, it hit home 20 times over, and I thought it was an amazing song. Nick and Chris and myself thought that it would be amazing for us to put it on the show. We got permission from Anthony to do so, and so we put it out there. Listen to the song. It is available on iTunes, and you know, these are amazing artists to come on the show. Support them. They're amazing. So I just want to throw that out there. But Nick, let's talk about something that happened a very, very long time ago today.
It's actually not that long ago.
Yeah. Not that long ago, but in retrospect, to think that that much time has happened or passed is really mind-boggling.
Yeah, so it just so happens that this episode is kind of landing in an awkward time to talk about this, but I thought it was very important to bring it up, especially because this month is coming out month, and because we have been talking about suicide awareness on our show, and not that this was a suicide, but it's a struggle. Anyway, so 19 years ago, Matthew Shepard... We lost Matthew Shepard. And then it wasn't today. On October 12th, Matt passed away from the wounds that were inflicted the night of October 6th into October 7th, where he was dragged behind a truck after meeting two men in a bar, thinking that it was going to be a fun, loving evening. Turned out to be not so fun-loving when he was beaten to death and dragged behind a truck and then tied to a post in the middle of a field in Wyoming, in Laramie, Wyoming. And this story, and I'm sure I've talked about it on the show before, means so much to me because I feel like this was the first moment when I heard about this story. Mm-hmm. It was the first moment as a gay man that, for lack of a better term, I felt woke. And I felt hurt. And I felt attacked. And this man became a martyr for the current United States social movement that is the LGBTQ social movement. He and his family, his death sparked a movement that changed the way I live today, the way Chris lives today, the way Tom lives today, the way we all live today. We've lost this person.
His mom's work, Judy. Judy's an amazing
Judy
soul.
And Dennis Shepard, yep.
Her work to establish his foundation set in motion rules and regulations within our federal government to really go after what was at the time described as heinous hate crimes.
Well, his death is what sparked the term hate crime.
Yes.
That's where it came from.
That's where I was trying to go. Yes. Yep. So as a result of his death, hate crimes became something very prevalent in the social structure of what we believed was what happened to him and what would continue to happen, sadly, mm-hmm. To a lot of members of the LGBT community, even to this day. We mentioned before we've had over 20 plus individuals either affected or killed, even in our trans community, mm-hmm. as a result of hate crimes. Yep. And Judy was very, very instrumental in putting that movement and that effort into making sure that the government and the federal government and state and local governments reacted in the way that they did. Mm-hmm. Sadly, we're seeing a lot of...
Yeah, and Judy and Dennis set up the Matthew Shepard Foundation, mm-hmm. which is beautiful. And what they do is beyond recognition. But I think it's important to note that Matt was a 21-year-old college student, mm-hmm. just trying to live his day-to-day life, wasn't coming at anybody, didn't aggressively go for something. Two men approached him, and now we no longer have him. I had the opportunity to go to Laramie, Wyoming and visit, but I walked to the fence where he was tied and I left flowers for him at that fence. And that moment in my life was so powerful and so healing for me for some reason. And I just feel like, I think that's the moment I realized that I need to get my voice out there so that people know that this is not okay and that as a community, and this week we're coming up on National Coming Out Day. Don't be afraid to be who you are and just share your love with the world, because that's the only way it's going to change. And Matthew, that's what he would want.
Absolutely. I think that, yeah. You know, his legacy will always be the one that sparked the movement that made it okay to be gay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a result of what happened, this happened in 98. I know that Ellen DeGeneres was very, very vocal after his passing. She herself had made an effort to educate people on our community and a lot of other people as well. But, you know, Judy's sacrifice of losing her son gave us one of our most important times in history.
Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, this is kind of horrible to say, but Matthew Shepard was my Harvey Milk. And I don't know. I mean, for me, everybody has that moment. Everybody has that person that they go back and say, this is what sparked who I have become and why I feel so strongly about this. And Matthew Shepard, for me, the brutality of his murder and the attack on his life for the reasons of him simply being gay is what sparked me to do this, or just be as flamboyant and gay as I've always been and say that I'm me and embrace me and take me for what I am. And I hope along the way I can change one mind.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we'll get there. I have faith that we can do that. We do this every week after week. We talk about issues and stuff that happen in our community in hopes that we can help someone overcome their issues with who they are and where they need to go, mm-hmm. as a person. So,
and we love taking that journey. And
of course.
It's a long journey. It's a long road ahead, but who knows? Even along the way, we might even find you a boyfriend, Nick.
That's probably not going to happen.
Shot in the dark.
But what's crazy is I do if anyone has a moment to actually, if you're randomly in Wyoming or in Colorado and you have a second, I was in Colorado and I drove up to Laramie, Wyoming, and it was probably about a 2.5-3 hour drive. And I'm telling you that getting there, and I had to do a bunch of research, because there's like, you know, they try not to get people to go there anymore and leave flowers because they don't want the town doesn't want the attention. But there's something I can't even describe it, so powerful about standing there. It's like this moment, I don't know, it's just very powerful, just leave something, you know, like I left flowers and I just felt finally, like, I'm okay.
Well, we're acknowledging the legacy of this man,
yeah.
The legacy of this young, amazing soul that we lost to brutality and you know, prejudice and
I would love to take homophobia. You guys there. I would love to go there with you guys.
One of these days we'll get there.
Yeah.
One of these days we'll get there, as long as we don't get kicked out.
Well, there's not much around it, so.
So we've got another story. Nick, do you want to cover that story, or should we go into our gay talk term and then...
Well, I mean, it is kind of an uplifting story.
Right. It is cute.
And that was like a heavy like
yes,
moment.
It was.
So. Yes, it was. So why don't we talk about that story quickly, and then we'll move on and wrap up the show.
Yeah, so this is your gay visibility for this week. So obviously... there was another guy that loved another guy, and then he proposed to him publicly at a baseball game.
Baseball stuff.
So a gay couple got engaged at the Washington Nationals baseball game last week to cheers from the entire stadium, making the night one they would never forget.
That's beautiful.
On a break during the Nationals game against the Pittsburgh Pirates, cameras panned to the couple Ty and Tyler. As the mascot, Screech the Eagle, snuck up behind them, after Screech hands a confused Ty a baseball, Tyler gets down on one knee and proposes. Ty, of course, says yes, even though in the video he actually never said yes. He just started crying, which is basically what I would do. And then the couple hug and kiss in front of a cheering stadium. And that is the type of visibility that I call for and I love to see. And I implore all of our listeners to do so. Ty and Tyler, congratulations.
Congrats.
On your engagement.
Claps for that.
I love if you look at the picture, people are like clapping and smiling, except for the one guy that's sitting next to him who probably thought one of them was cute and he just lost his chance. You see his face?
Yeah, he's like, shit.
Yeah, he's like the only one who looks disappointed.
Well, what I thought when I saw the picture was, you know, there's so much happening in these games. You know, there's shit everywhere. You've got billboards everywhere. He was probably looking away, didn't even realize what was happening in front of him. Seriously.
True.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people didn't. When I watched the video, if you watch it, a lot of people are like, what's going on? Oh my God, it's a gay proposal!
It's awesome, though.
And they were super hot.
Yeah, they look really cute.
No, they're amazing.
Oh my God, I forgot who I was watching it with, but somebody, I was watching it with Max, my assistant, and he was just like, you know what it looks like to me? It looks like the guy that got on one knee was like, I never thought I would be the one to propose.
This bitch ain't gonna ask me, I have to do
That's
a cute story, Nick. Thank you.
You're
welcome.
Thank
you for sharing that. All right, so let's jump into our gay talk term for this episode. Back to Nick.
Oh, well, as if I haven't talked enough today. This week's gay talk term brought to you by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
We went a long time without mentioning them today.
I know.
They're going to pull our money.
Well, this week's gay talk term brought to you by UnicornBooty.com.
Monopoly money?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, the fake ones. Is mixed marriage. I chose this because we were talking about marriage equality. So mixed marriage is marriage between homosexual and heterosexual.
Okay.
A mixed marriage. So a lot of, you would have seen this a lot of times years ago when a gay man married their best friend because they were gay and their best friend, whatever, you know, or married a lesbian or whatnot.
Was this to sort of kind of like keep their family in check and say, okay.
Yeah. For example, but anyway. So, and then there's a example that I'm going to read for everybody. And that's one mixed marriage I hope won't work out because that groom was really cute.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I knew a couple that did that. A straight woman and a gay, openly gay man.
I've known a couple as well.
Yeah, I know a couple of people that did that. And, you know, it's like, well,
I actually know somebody
subconscious...
that did that too.
I know, right?
Well, I forgot about that one.
All right, shall we move on this day in gay history, Mr. Christopher?
Brought to you by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
But really. No, but not. Okay. So on this day in gay history, back in 2008 in California, Stephen Thorne of the San Francisco Police Department was promoted to lieutenant. The promotion makes him the highest ranking openly transgender law enforcement official in the country.
Let me stop you. Lieutenant?
Yes.
There's no D in lieutenant.
I said lieutenant.
He said it again.
Lieutenant.
He keeps saying
oh, did I say
D.
Lieutenant?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't even realize I was saying that.
He's great with other languages, but when it comes to English, it's all cursive.
English is hard. I didn't even Lieutenant.
Thank you.
Didn't realize I said that.
You said lieutenant
twice.
All right, go ahead.
Fuck her! Not her.
No,
not
I'm
him.
Actually proud of Tommy. We always correct him for his English, and he just like got on you. So I'll give him this one. This one time.
Thank you.
That one time.
All right.
I'm in trouble. Time. I'm in trouble.
We keep are going. Fighting. No, that's it. All right.
That's well, it. Okay, this was sent out when? In what year?
I said October 9th, 2008 in California.
Yes. Yeah.
Stephen Thorne, claps.
All right, so listen, we need to bring this home. So we've got some announcements. If you love the show, you can head on over. Well, actually, you can help us in one of three ways to ensure that our show becomes more visible within our podcasting community. You can subscribe to the show. By doing so, you can get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as we publish our episode. You can rate and review our show. You can do so on iTunes, the Apple Podcast app, on Google Play Music for all of our Android listeners, as well as Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, Podbean, and any of your favorite podcasting apps. You can support us on Patreon. With Patreon, you, our listeners, can help support our show with a pledged donation. Those donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. It's truly a really good service, and we truly appreciate the Patreons that have signed on. We've got some amazing things coming for our Patreon supporters that were in the works. So I just want to throw all of that out there. And while these boys update their notes.
I was like, he is dragging this out. He's doing good, though.
So, no, but seriously. And I can't with these two. So are you ready, Christopher? Yes, no?
Sure. Well, I'm pretty sure next week we're going to be at a studio.
No, we're not. No.
Oh, fuck.
So here
we
go.
I looked at the calendar.
Why don't you thank our guests? I'll take care of next week.
Okay.
Okay, so next week, we actually are not sure how it's going to work out yet. So we are going to see Afterglow, which we had Patrick Riley on our show a couple weeks ago. And he is in Afterglow, which is an off-Broadway show in New York. So we'll be there on Friday. We're seeing the 8 p.m. show. And we are hoping to work out an interview with them for next week's show. We are still working out the logistics. So more to follow on that next week. But we hope to fill you in on Afterglow either way next week.
Yes.
So right. My turn now.
Yeah, your turn.
So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Three times.
I put two fingers up. Whoops. To our guest, Mr. Chris Entwistle, calling all the way from Australia with marriage equality in Australia. We really appreciate the work you're doing out there. Keep on the streets. Keep being visible. We look forward to hearing from you when the vote concludes and see where it goes from there. We really appreciate you calling in. And like he said, if you have anyone in Australia, any friends out there, just reach out to them. You know, show them the support they need.
And it's also, don't you want to have what's his face on our show?
I would very much like to have Josh Thomas on our show. Yes, indeed. So we'll have to get a different email address. But thank you again very much, Chris. It was a great time chatting with you.
Yeah,
he didn't plug himself.
Well, that's okay. Well, listen, we'll plug him. He is on Facebook. Look him up. He's actually
just go on our website.
Seriously, yeah. We have links to our page where you can find all of his work and efforts. He's actually very handsome, too. Mm. I was just like, oh, my God.
And no one mentioned the accent today. I'm proud of you guys.
I wanted to so badly.
I know.
I was holding it back.
And his Instagram is C_ENTWISTLE.
There it is.
All right. So, Christopher?
Shall we put a rubber on it?
Yes.
Let's put a rubber on it.
Okie dokie, guys. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces, you can find us on social media. Facebook, Gaytalk 2.0. Instagram, Gaytalk 2.0. Twitter, @gaytalk20. You can also email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us for anything that you would like to talk to us about, you can do so by visiting our website under the Contact Us tab at the top of the browser, where you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast, or submit a question for an individual host, a.k.a. Chris. Because it's always Chris. You can call us or leave us a voicemail if you'd like with your questions that we can answer on the show for you. Our phone number is 334-GATE-TALK. If you need the numbers, it is 334-429-8255. Christopher, you look like you have something you want to say.
Just want to remind everyone, this Saturday, 2 o'clock, meet Trish and I at the Stonewall Inn. We'll be
2 o'clock or 1:30?
Well, we'll start marching at 2 o'clock, so get there early.
Whenever she gets out of bed.
We will be marching to Trump Tower. We hope to see you all there for Voices for Chechnya.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we love you so much. Thank you for tuning in week after week. Y'all have a good night, and
bye!
Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.